Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm on. Okay. We welcome you to worship today. If you notice, the front of our bulletin says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and we are doing that too by our presence here. God is worthy of our time together today. God is worthy of our praise, our prayers. God is worthy of our attention to His Word and the gifts we give to our church and the gifts of service that we give to the world. So we are happy to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus and offer our worship today. I invite you to stand for our call to worship, which is number 628 in the hymnal. Number 628. Our theme today is that God is with us, and this reading expresses that so well. Let's read together. This is what the Lord says, He who created you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name.
You are mine.
When you pass through the waters,
I will be with you.
When you walk through the fire,
you will not be burned.
I am the Lord your God, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God.
I will strengthen you.
When you call upon me, I will listen to you.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to number 410, Standing on the Promises.
Shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Stand.
God, we are grateful to you today beyond measure for the faithfulness of your promises, your precious and very great promises by which we escape the corruption in the world and share your very nature as the children of God. We are grateful that in this place we are in your presence, that we can stand confident of your love for us, your faithfulness to us, and your blessing upon our lives. And chief among them is the salvation you have given us through Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the blessing that he has given us by teaching us to pray as your children, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to take a moment and greet someone you didn't get to greet when you walked in. A lot of you arrived late today, so please come in and greet one another. You'll notice in the bulletin several announcements. One is an actual insert, full page on the back of the song sheet. Our closing hymn is going to be How Firm a Foundation with at least five verses that were more than what it was in the hymnal. But on the other side is the information about the Old Colony Baptist Association meeting next Saturday, which will be in Brockton at First Baptist Church. The rest of the announcements are in different parts of the bulletin. All of them are important because they all are either offering you an opportunity to learn, to grow, to minister, to share in fellowship in one way or another, whether it's with Mission Works out in Leominster in October, or the organizational meeting the women are having, a variety of other needs in the church for junior church and nursery help. So as you look through that, please make sure that you get to see all of it. And I want to call your attention to the resolution on the Syrian refugee crisis that's in here, because our church, the American Baptist Church, has committed an initial gift of $10,000 to the One Great Hour of Sharing, which is trying to help alleviate some of the suffering of these Syrian refugees. It's curious that they're sometimes called migrants. I think of migrants are people who want to move for economic reasons, but these are people that are being forced from their home because of the violence and war that has just destroyed their nation. So our church is responding to that, and we certainly want to keep that whole problem and those people in our prayers. Are there other announcements from the congregation? Yeah, Cindy. Thank you. Yeah, Cindy has those. Yeah, Carl.
The fellowship coffee hour is always available for fellowship hall. So we don't like to invite you after the service. We'll go there. We'll have a pussy lift. Anybody needs a pussy
to
not do the stairs, please let one of us know
when we'll
click on the lift.
Great. Bob, you have anything to add?
Sure. I'll just stand right here, too, and do my announcement. Let's see, we have YouTube tonight at 6:30 at the church. We'd love to have you out for that. A lot of fun. I always say that, and it always is. So if you haven't come, you haven't experienced that. But we'd love you to come and experience that firsthand. And then, let's see, next Sunday, we're having a bonfire at my house. we have a special guest speaker coming in. His name's Eves, and he's from West Africa, from Togo. And he received a shoebox through Operation Krishna Child many years ago. And he's going to give his testimony about receiving that shoebox. He's an adult now, but he's going to talk about the impact that had on his life, the impact that that had on his village. The village they grew up in is filled with voodoo worshipers and people that really are going the opposite direction of us that follow Christ. And the impact that that had even on them, these gifts from people that give to Operation Christmas Child. So we'd love to have kids out for that, but we'd also like to have as many adults as possible. That's Sunday, October the 4th, 6:30. We're inviting other churches to come as well. We're hoping they come out and turn up with us for that. But it should be very interesting. It's going to be here in the sanctuary, and we'll do some singing that night too. And it should be a great night for us. So we hope that you're able to take advantage of that in coming to that. We also have our trunk or treat coming up on Sunday, October 25th. And if you'd like to participate in that with us, please see Sarah, my wife, and she's kind of heading that up, spearheading that for us. And we had about 13 cars last year. We'd love to have 20 cars this year or more. And we'll give you information on how to do that and decorate your car. And it's a great outreach, very low key. Everybody loves free candy, and they're coming up for that. But with that, we give them gospel tracts, and present in a very friendly way our church, and hope that we can be a positive impact in the kingdom of God. So anyway, if you'd like to come out for that, I'd like to participate in that with us. This is Sarah.
The gospel reading this morning is the end of Matthew's gospel. It's on page 1550. And it's a short enough reading, I'd like us all to share it together. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. If you have your own Bible and it's not NIV, please read along anyway. That won't matter. We have such a wealth of translations in our world today. All of them very good and helpful. We're going to read verses 16 through 20 in the last chapter of Matthew. Let's read together. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. What a blessing.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 22. Praise the name of Jesus, and we will be singing through twice.
Jesus, he's my rock, he's my fortress.
Please be seated. If you have joys or concerns that you want, I see a hand over here. Fill out those green forms. And if you're visiting today, please fill that out because that little green flyer in the pew gives us a chance to stay in touch with you when we can get your address and phone number. I saw this in the news and in the paper today, that the civil unrest in Burkina Faso in Africa, prayer for protection for the Christians who are there. And there's a fellow, Joel Gray, and has sent an email requesting prayer and kind of informing us. Happy birthday to Bob McKinnon. What? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. From Karen, Shirley Horn is now home and making steady progress. Please pray for her continued improvement. That's Karen's mom. Bob Craig will be moving to South Shore Rehab and Nursing in Rockland, which I believe is right out North Street into Rockland, later this week. Happy to have him closer to home. From Joy Corcoran, my daughter Katie is having a C-section tomorrow morning. And because of her diabetes, she's at high risk. But pray that all goes well and that I will have a new grandson who is perfect. We are excited about that. That's tomorrow morning. Won't be long. Two praises from Alice Willis. My daughter Heather is doing very well after her surgery last month. I believe it was for a foot or knee. Oh, sorry. I thought it was a leg. And my daughter Tracy starts a new job tomorrow after being unemployed for 9 months. Great. Good praise. And this Terry Fieldman has missionary friends in who are the Joel as Bob?
Karen and Joel.
Yeah. It's great that we can find out about these things, not only in the news, but by the people who are there who can let us know of their need and request our prayers. And I think even better in a way that we know that our prayers here can reach them because of our God who is present in all places. So let's turn to God together in prayer. God, we thank you that you are present wherever we are. Your word says we cannot get away from you. We cannot flee from your presence. We cannot be anywhere on earth where you are not there. And we're grateful because we don't want to be away from you. You are our God, our Creator, our Savior, through your Son, Jesus Christ. You are our Father in heaven, and we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for your presence with us. For your presence in places like Burkina Faso. We may never get there, may not even know where it is, but you are there with your people, Joel and others, and we pray your blessing to protect them, to guard the church, to guard that nation from civil unrest that can lead to so much violence and death. We pray for the other places in our world like Syria and Iraq where war continues. We pray that you will strengthen those who fight for peace, who fight for justice. May their struggle be successful, Lord, and you bring these conflicts to an end. So many people have been displaced by war, and refugees are seeking shelter in foreign lands where they don't know the language, they don't know the customs. How they've even gotten there is a miracle. We pray that you will bless them in their new countries, that your people will open their hearts and homes to provide support and encouragement and shelter and food for these many strangers who have come to their doors seeking the basic needs of life, the security and safety they could not find in their own land. So may your blessing be upon them. Lord, we give you thanks for Shirley Horn and the progress she's making, for Heather, who's recovering well, and for Tracy, who has a new job. We lift to you Joy's daughter, Katie, and pray, oh God, that you will watch over her in this C-section tomorrow and bless her with health and a healthy baby that will bring joy to this family. We pray for Bob Craig as he moves to South Shore Nursing and Rehab in Rockland, that transition from his own home to a new place will go smoothly. He will be able to accept this phase of his life as you continue your faithfulness to him. Lord, we lift to you Meredith Baker, our friend whose cancer has spread to her lung, and pray as she has requested that when she has her CAT scan, the tumor will be gone, that you will free her and deliver her and bless her with life and health. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you gave us yesterday to do planning for the future of our church, to look into the coming year and just sense your guidance, your hand upon us, your Spirit leading. And we look forward to the ways you will bring to fulfillment the plans that you helped us make. We thank you for the new classes and the teachers that are in place, for the excitement of a new school year in our Christian Children's Center, for the opportunities for ministry that you give us, not just in our community, but throughout the world through trips to La Romana. We pray, O God, that your Spirit will continue to give strength and health to your people, that you will bless us with a deepening love for you and a desire to fulfill the promises we have made to you as you fulfill the promises you have made to us. We ask these blessings in Christ's name. Amen. We have an opportunity to continue our worship through the giving of tithes and offerings now. Will you stand, please, for the doxology?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give to your people and to this church. Lord, we ask you to accept these tithes and these offerings, to use them in your will, that your Son Jesus Christ and his message may be sent throughout Abington, throughout Massachusetts, and throughout the world. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to number 517, I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
Down too. What is your name?
Zoe.
Zoe and Isabella. Rachel and Charlie.
The last part is May.
All right. Well, I want... Great. Well, I'm glad you all are here today. And I wanted to talk about something God says. We're going to talk later about how God is with us all the time. And now, we're with each other now, right? If you go home, Rachel, and I stay here, then we're not with each other, are we? Because you're home and I'm here. And if you went home or off to the store or restaurant and I stayed here, we wouldn't be with each other. But that's what I like about Sunday, because we're all with each other right here in this one room. But God says, doesn't matter where we are, He's with us. And I was trying to explain how that happens. Take a deep breath. It just took air into your body, right? So we have air right here. There's some air with us. I want to ask. Robert, is there air back there where you are?
No.
It's not moving, I'm sure, but you breathing over there, Jim? Got air? Hey, Jeremy? Air? See, they're over there and there's still air over there. So when you go home, is there going to be air for you to breathe? Yeah. And if you went to the store, there's air to breathe. If you were driving a car, there's air to breathe. That's like God's Spirit. Everywhere you go, there's air to breathe. Everywhere we go, God, by His Spirit, is with us. So Charlie, if you go play a game and you're breathing air, you can remember God is with you. Because God is like the air. He's everywhere by His Spirit. So there's nowhere we can ever be that God isn't with us. Just like there's air everywhere we go, God is there everywhere we go through His Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we thank You that everywhere we go, You are with us. And when we go to junior church, You're with us. When we're here in worship, You're with us. Wherever we are, we thank You for that wonderful promise that we're never alone because You are always with us. Amen. Thank you for being here today and hope you enjoy Children's Church. If you want to go with them, you can. A little lesson.
I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 43. And if you would, once we've read this, leave your Bible open. The text for the morning message, Isaiah 43, it's page 1126 in the Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let's pray together. God, as you spoke centuries ago to and through your prophet Isaiah, may you speak to our hearts again today this timeless word of your presence with us. May your Spirit confirm to us today the truth
of your promise and transform our lives accordingly. In Christ's name, amen.
One unforgettable day during my first pastorate in Columbus, Ohio, I walked with a young mother and her son to the doors of the operating room in Children's Hospital. Timmy was born with spina bifida, that opening in your spine. He was facing yet another surgery. As we come to those doors that he knew all too well, his fear just welled up within him and burst out, "Mom, don't leave me. Don't leave me." And even though she was a nurse at that very hospital, she wasn't allowed past the doors. She had to leave her son with the doctors and nurses in the OR. The heavy doors swung shut, and we couldn't see Timmy any longer, but we could hear him. These heartbreaking cries faded slowly, too slowly for Sharon. She just broke down in my arms. "I hate this. I just hate this. Where is God now?" Sharon was in so much pain right then, she didn't believe God was with her. I said, "Sharon, God is right here with you. And God is with Timmy. God made a promise, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' And if that promise is not true right now, there's no reason to believe anything God says." I was shocked by what I said. I felt like it was from the Spirit of God, but it touched her and me both. And I meant it when I said it that day, and I mean it today. Because sometimes, if you're anything like Sharon, or like me, you have times in your life that are so painful you don't believe God is with you. Your faith might be so weak, your doubt so strong that you don't believe God is with you. Maybe the sin you're so aware of in your life, you think God can't be with me. But God is with us. God has made that promise. "I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." That is the word of our God. "I'll be with you, Abram and Sarai, when you go off to a place you don't know. I'll be with you, Moses, when you confront the Pharaoh of Egypt. I'll be with you, Joshua, when you have to cross the Jordan and enter the promised land." And so it goes throughout the history of God and God's people. "I'll be with you, Deborah. I'll be with you, Daniel. I'll be with you, David. I'll be with you, Solomon, Ruth. I'll be with you, Priscilla and Aquila. I'll be with you, John, Peter, Paul." And so it was in that day in Children's Hospital. "I will be with you, Sharon. I will be with you, Timmy. I will never leave you nor forsake you." That is the word of God to us. The God who made a promise then keeps it now. The God who told us then, "I'll be with you," tells us that same thing today. "I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Notice in the bulletin, in the header, I put it in there twice for a reason. The first occurrence of this promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," is in Joshua. And we might be tempted to think, well, that was at one point in history where one man got this promise from God to do the one thing he had to do. And God said, "Joshua, I'll be with you." And it would be presumptuous to think that the promise to Joshua applies to me. But that's why I put the reference in Hebrews there, because the Hebrews reference takes it and applies it to all of us, saying, "God has said to the church, to all his people, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." But let me be clear, God did not promise a life free of trial and trouble and tragedy. Any God who does try to promise you that is lying.
We may want God to be like a policeman who walks us through a dangerous neighborhood and makes sure that nothing bad happens to us, but that's not what God said. If you remember, if your Bible is still open in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not consume you. God said when, not if. So when you face surgery, I'll be with you. When your child suffers, I'll be with you. When you lose your job, I'll be with you. When your marriage is on the rocks, I'll be with you. When life is falling apart around you, I will be with you, God says. At the courtroom door or the surgery door, even at the door of death, God promises, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you might think, well, it's nice to have God with me, but what good is a God who doesn't prevent the need for surgery, the job loss, the divorce, doesn't prevent the pain, the suffering, the death? What good is a God who can be with me but not prevent what hurts me? What good is that policeman who turns his back and I get mugged? Well, if your Bible is still open, it's Isaiah 43. God is good enough to have created you for His glory. God is good enough to have redeemed you from your sin so that you do not have to bear the punishment of it. God is good enough to have called you by name and say, you are mine. God is good enough to say, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. This God is so good, He gave His only begotten Son to suffer and die to redeem our selfish and greedy and troublemaking souls. This God is so good that He chose to save us at such a cost instead of just sending us directly to the punishment we deserve because of our sin. This God is so good, He makes us His own children, sets His own steadfast love upon us forever. So good, He binds Himself to us by an unbreakable covenant to be our God and swears by Himself that no matter how big a mess we create by our own sinfulness, war, poverty, job loss, crime, hunger, child abuse, homelessness, Wall Street collapse, addiction, divorce, even death, no matter what suffering mess we make or what others make for us, God is good enough to promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that God is all the good we do not deserve after all the bad we have done. And that good is all the good we need to overcome all the bad that happens to us. That God is all the good we get, for everything good in life comes from that God. That God gave His own Son to die for the very sins that we commit that have so tragically marred life in the world. That God now gives us everlasting life through Jesus Christ. That's what good this God is, more than good enough. God's Son who suffered and died is every bit as good. For God promised, I will be with you. And you heard our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ promise at the end of Matthew, I am with you always to the end of the age. If there's any way to intensify a promise that says, I will be with you, it's this: I am with you always. But both of them, you see, are these unconditional promises. They don't depend on us. They don't depend on our faith, our obedience, or anything we do or don't do. God has simply made that promise. I will be with you. I am with you always. From the day Jesus made that promise in Galilee till this day, His church, which He commissioned and sent into the world, His church has made disciples all over the world. Burkina Faso. The church has baptized those disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The church has taught them to observe everything Jesus taught. So how on earth could the church last that long and spread that far to do all of that from that small group of 11 men on that mountain in Galilee when some of them, as you read, doubted that this was even real? How could all this growth and fulfillment, all this ministry and mission happen? How could all this salvation and redemption come to so many millions of people? Happened because someone with all authority in heaven and on earth has been with every apostle, every missionary, every evangelist, every preacher, and every member of every church every minute of their lives. Nothing in all creation can separate the one who has all authority in heaven and earth from those he loves. And that one is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones he loves. Christ Jesus has made us his own, remember? We belong to him. And he is with us always. But now, the more we are with Jesus in our own personal times of daily prayer and scripture reading, as the covenant mentions, the more we think about Jesus through the day, the more we talk about Jesus with others, the more we worship Jesus and serve Jesus in the world, the more we're with Jesus, the more we will experience Jesus with us. Now, he will be with us regardless. That's his promise. I'm simply saying that the more we are with him in a conscious, intentional, regular way, the more we will experience and enjoy Jesus with us. So now what do you do with this truth that the Lord is with us? Here's one thing. We American Baptists like to say that we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. I heard that when I went to New Orleans to help with the Katrina recovery. You may have heard that in La Romana. Wherever the church goes on mission or ministry, we like to say we are the hands and feet of Christ. What we mean is that we go in the name of Christ and do what Jesus would do to help those who are suffering. And it's our going and our doing, which is one very clear, tangible, and irresistible proof that God is with those who suffer. People will know God loves them when they know that God's people love them. People will know that God cares for them when God's people care for them. And people will know God is with them when God's people are with them. That awful day long ago in Children's Hospital, the tangible proof that God was with Sharon was me with Sharon. I don't say that to boast because I was simply there doing what God had given me and called me to do as her pastor. But the proof that God was with her, the tangible, physical evidence that God was with her, were my arms around her. My tears falling with hers. My voice offering comfort and support to her. I was the hands and feet of Jesus that day. Of course, God was with her internally, invisibly, by his Spirit. That's God's promise. But physically, tangibly, God was with her in me. I hope and pray that today you can be comforted knowing that God will always be with you. Because the painful times of life challenge that belief. But God has made a promise that he will not break. I also hope that in the name of Jesus, you will find some suffering soul who needs to know that God is with them. And then you go be with them in Jesus' name. Go be the hands and feet of Jesus with them. Go be his arms embracing them. Be his voice of cheer. Be with them. And for a time, you be the living proof that God is with them all the time. God said, I will be with you. The Son of God said, I am with you always. Believe them. Trust them. Follow them. Keep standing on this beautiful promise of God and of God's Son. See what good God really is. And then go in the name of Jesus and see what good you can be in the name of this God who will never leave you nor forsake you. This God who will be with you always. Let us pray. God, like the air we breathe wherever we are, you are present, and by the breath of your Spirit, the wind of your Spirit, we pray you would convince us and refresh us and renew us in our belief that you are with us, that nothing will separate us from you, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing from the past can keep you away. Nothing in the future can keep you away. Lord, as much as we need you to be present with us and need to be aware that you are with us in our times of pain and suffering,
there are others who need to know that too. By your grace, help us to see them, to seek them, and to go to where they are and bless them with our presence and be proof to them that you are with them. Amen. It's always encouraging to think of the future as we did yesterday at the retreat, and to know that we might envision things that are going to happen, and we're not in the future yet, but God is. And we posted some of the results of our retreat time yesterday, the planning retreat. They're over here in the library walls. And I want to call Ann up to just share with you one of the things that we committed to do earlier. I skipped this earlier in the service, but it finally came back to me that I needed to have her share with you a highlight of our time together and the challenge that is here for us.
One of the things that we did yesterday was to come up with a vision statement, and it is hanging on the wall in the library. Oh, I guess the pastor's going to go get it. But what it basically says is that we are recommitting ourselves to our covenant. And our covenant is printed in the back cover of your hymnal. If you by chance pick up a hymnal that does not have a copy of the covenant in it, please grab another hymnal and see if it's there. Our vision statement that we developed yesterday is, with God's help, we will joyfully recommit ourselves to live by our covenant with Jesus Christ and each other to meet needs in our congregation and greater community. And it's based on Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. But if you would now at this time open to the back of the hymnal, and we will read in unison the covenant of our that we have made with our each other and with God. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and having made a public profession of our faith, we solemnly and joyfully, in the presence of God, enter into this covenant with one another as a gathered community in the service of Christ. We pledge anew, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive diligently to do our share in advancing this fellowship in the knowledge and understanding of the Holy Scripture, in sustaining its services of worship, its ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. We furthermore affirm that we will contribute gladly and regularly to the support of the total mission of the Church, which includes the spread of the gospel through all nations, assistance to the needy, and the expenses of this fellowship. We endeavor to set aside adequate periods of time for daily personal and family devotions. We promise to educate our children religiously, to seek the salvation of families and associates, to be exemplary in our behavior, prudent and temperate in our personal relationships and habits, so that our conduct will reflect the Christ whom we serve and witness to the empowering grace of God in our personal lives. We further pledge to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior, to seek it without delay. We affirm that when we move from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with another church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant.
When you have the opportunity to look at the walls here, you'll also see that there's an opportunity for you to add some of your own thoughts, your own ideas, under some of the post-it notes that are there. There are post-it notes available because the meeting itself was open to everyone, and we want everyone to have the input that you desire to have. Our final hymn, if you'll stand for that, is in the insert. It's how firm a foundation. There may be more verses, but these are the ones we're singing today.
Receive God's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace by knowing that God is always with you and will never fail or forsake you.